Hi, everyone. I'm Ryan from Johns Hopkins University. And this talk is about a new way of constructing failure detectors for cell production failures by leveraging the inherent observability using a system we developed called Panorama. And this is a joint work with folks at ByteDance and Microsoft. So in large systems, failures are inevitable. And various hardware faults, software bugs, and misconfiguration can happen in any component across the system stack. So detecting failures at runtime is critical. And a common wisdom in building large-scale systems is to embrace failure and make the recovery fast. But this is only possible if the failure can be detected quickly and reliably first. A reliable and faster failure detection is hard, and it has been extensively studied for the past several decades. And prior work focused primarily on detecting fail-stop failures in asynchronous systems, where it is hard to determine whether the process has crashed or is merely very slow. But there are all sorts of ways that a component can fail in production besides fail-stop, such as fail-slow hardware, random packet loss, and limp lock. And these gray failures are common in production cloud systems and pose new challenges for failure detection. So to give you a concrete example, this shows a production Zookeeper gray failure case. So Zookeeper is a replicated service with a leader and a set of followers. And the leader periodically sends heartbeat messages with the followers for failure detection. So in this case, the clients are seeing many errors. But interestingly, the leader is still happily exchanging heartbeat messages with the followers. And using Zookeeper's own admin API to query the leader, "Are you okay?" And the leader will reply, "I'm okay." So this pragmatic leader will remain the leader and no re-election was triggered. So the root cause of this gray failure is that when the client's requests come in, they are handled by the request processor thread. And an update operation that needs to modify the in-memory data needs to acquire a lock. And in the meantime, a serialization thread was holding the lock, but it got stuck due to a transient network problem, which prevents the request processing from making any progress. And during this entire period, the heartbeat thread was not affected at all, so the leader appeared to be working. So the main insight behind our work to detect gray failure is that instead of relying on a few special controllers, such as the managers or failure detector, to measure superficial signals, we should detect what the requesters are seeing. And the reason is that in large-scale systems, even though by definition gray failures are ambiguous and subtle, the one that we care about are actually those that affect the execution of some other components in the system. Take the earlier Zookeeper gray failure as an example. So even though the built-in detector did not catch the issue, the Cassandra component that uses Zookeeper as lock service encounters many lock timeouts. Also, if the follower requests a snapshot from the leader, it will encounter many exceptions as well. So it is important to capture the evidence in the requesters that can observe gray failures. And the other good news is that we don't have to start from scratch or rewrite the entire code of the requester in order to capture this evidence. And this is because the developers are already anticipating these errors and try very hard to handle them. So we just need a change of mindset to convert these error handlers into error reporting code. And so this allows our approach to be practical. So based on these insights, we present Panorama. Panorama is a generic failure detection service that can be plugged in by any component in large systems. So it turns a given software component into an in-situ observer and provides uniform abstractions for different components to make observations. So at a high level, Panorama works in two stages. In the offline stage, we statically analyze the source code of a given software component and then insert reporting hooks in important code regions to make observations. Then in the runtime, when the instrumented component communicates with another component, it may trigger the hooks and report some evidence. And we call this component the observer and the component to be monitored the subject, and the reporting region the context. And the evidence is submitted to a local observation store that is maintained by a co-located Panorama instance. The Panorama instance propagates this observation to other instances and also learns observations from other instances. And finally, a verdict is reached for each subject based on all the observations. So in this talk, we're going to mainly focus on the analysis stage, and please read the paper of details of the runtime service. So there are several challenges that we need to address. And first is that the observations might be scattered all over the place in a software source code. Also, collecting observations on the execution path may slow down an observer's normal service. Lastly, real-world software can have diverse programming patterns that affect observability. To address the first challenge, we designed a static analysis called observability analysis that automatically extracts evidence from the entire code base of a software. And the analysis is done in three steps. First, it locates the function invocations that span across different components, which we refer to as OB boundary. And second, it identifies the observer and the subject from the OB boundary. And lastly, it follows the data flow and the control flow of the function invocations to extract evidence from the OB boundary, which we refer to as OB point. So this shows an example of the observability analysis. So the analyzer first locates this read record call because it involves a remote method invocation. And then based on the class instance of this read record call, it identifies the observer and subject. It then finds two OB points from this OB boundary, and one is this invalid reply content, and the other is the IO exception raised when making this call, which indicates failure to get reply. Now we briefly describe each step. To locate the OB boundary, we essentially need to find function invocations that span across different components. And these are typically done through standard methods such as socket IOs, RPC libraries, or messaging services. And most systems use a small set of interfaces repeatedly for doing communication, so we can interpose on these interfaces without much effort. And the observer identity is needed to track the source of observations, and it comes from the ID or name that this process uses in the distributed system. For example, in ZooKeeper, each process is assigned with an ID based on the MyID file from the service config. And this identity information is passed to Panorama during a one-time registration when the process starts. The subject information comes from the argument or object of this OB boundary. And for example, this INET address 2 in the sendRR method identifies the subject. And sometimes the information is provided by a proxy. And for this customized OB boundary, we need some annotation from developers. And lastly, to extract evidence, the analyzer finds error handlers that are related to the OB boundary and then insert reporting hooks to extract this negative evidence. And the negative evidence could also come from the invalid reply content. To extract such evidence, the analyzer looks for errors that have control dependency on the reply content. And for positive evidence, they mainly come from the successful invocation from the OB boundaries. But if the domain crossing occurs frequently, the positive observations can be excessive. And to address this issue, we combine similar positive OB points that are located close together. This is how the basic analysis works. And when we apply to real-world software, we find that certain programming patterns can affect observability. And to give you a concrete example, here's the production ZooKeeper grade failure case. And in this case, an important module of ZooKeeper, the prep request processor thread, encounters an out-of-memory error due to a corrupt packet. So the clients are seeing many errors, but the heartbeat thread is not affected. And the hooks that Panorama inserts look something like this. So in the request processor exception handler, a negative evidence will be reported. But at runtime, the prep request processor also appears healthy in Panorama. And the reason is that this particular OB boundary, the process request, is in fact implemented by simply putting a request into the queue, and then the thread will asynchronously process the queue. And in this case, the processing part dies because of the out-of-memory error, but submitting to the request queue will still succeed. So the lesson is that indirection can reduce failure observability, and because the evidence is made about the indirection layer instead of the actual component. So this needs us to summarize four common patterns of observability. So assume there are two components, C1 and C2, and C1 makes a request to C2, and C2 optionally sends a reply back. And this is the simplest case and has the best failure observability, because C1 can observe C2's failure, and C2 can observe C1's failure. But when indirection exists, even though it has performance benefit, it makes C2's failure unobservable to C1. And this is because when C1 sends a request to C2, the request was buffered by the indirection layer, and C1 gets an immediate success response. So C1 can think C2 is healthy even when it's not. So similarly, the indirection can also exist in the reply path, or both in the request and reply path, which has the best performance benefits but least failure observability. To still be able to capture observation when direction exists, we realize that the fundamental issue caused by indirection is that an observation becomes split. And we call them the OB origin and OB sink. OB origin is a positive evidence, but it's temporary and weak evidence. OB sink is a complete and strong evidence. OB origin is essentially an OB boundary in asynchronous method. After identifying OB origin, instead of submitting a healthy observation, we submit a pending observation. And the OB sync lies in the notification mechanisms of the asynchronous method, and such as the callback set or completion flag check. And then we submit the final healthy or unhealthy observation after the OB sync. Then the observations from the OB origin and OB sync are matched at runtime based on the subject and context and request ID tuple. But if the pending observations are outstanding for too long, they degrade into unhealthy. The Panorama system is implemented in Go and gRPC, and a sync library provides optimizations so that most reporting doesn't even trigger the local RPCs. So for evaluation, we'd like to first assess whether our approach works in practice with real-world distributed systems, and how fast can Panorama detect failures, and how do transient failures affect Panorama, and how much overhead is incurred for a component to participate in Panorama. So we have successfully integrated Panorama with four real-world distributed systems, Zookeeper, Cassandra, HDFS, and HBase. And the integration process is smooth and only requires moderate annotation efforts. And most of these annotations are reusable across different versions. The analysis and instrumentation process can finish under 10 seconds. So even though the Panorama is designed to detect gray failures, as a sanity check, we inject 10 crash failures in the full system and measure how fast can Panorama detect them. And interestingly, Panorama can detect 8 of them faster than the built-in detector. And this is because the built-in detectors have to be conservative to deal with asynchrony. To evaluate our main design goal, we have reproduced 15 real-world gray failures in the four systems. And in all of these cases, some severe service disruption occurred, such as failure to handle all the create requests. So this graph shows that Panorama can detect all of the 15 failures in under 7 seconds, and while the built-in detectors can only detect one case within 300 seconds. And this graph shows the timeline in detecting the first gray failure, and we can see that the Panorama observer starts to report failure soon after the fault occurs and then stops reporting when the fault clears. And this lower graph also shows that Panorama's reporting closely matches the client's experience. So we also measure how do transient failures affect Panorama. And this graph shows that the unhealthy verdict in Panorama quickly disappears after the transient failure. And this is because Panorama collects every evidence from the real execution path and distinguishes them based on the subject and context. Cost-wise, we measure how much overhead is incurred for a component to participate in the Panorama service. And this graph shows the overall end-to-end latency impact to the observers. And overall, the overhead is below 3%. Panorama is not perfect. There are several limitations that we plan to address in future work. First, Panorama takes advantage of the high dependencies and interactions in large systems. And for a smaller scale system where the observability is inherently low, we have to improve the built-in detectors. Second, Panorama currently focuses on the failure detection, and we plan to integrate the detection results to the subject to take actions. And third, Panorama currently does not identify root causes of observations. Panorama builds upon advances on related work in failure detection, monitoring and tracing, accountability, and grade failures. Now, our main contribution is we propose a new way of constructing failure detectors for grade failures. So to conclude, the main takeaway message is that we should detect what the requests are seeing, because the failures that we care about are those that affect the execution of the requester. And we don't have to start from scratch in order to capture the evidence, because the error handlers that developer already write can be leveraged. But we must deal with various design patterns that could reduce failure visibility. And we show that Panorama's approach is practical through integration with four real-world distributed systems. And the result is that it can detect both crash failures and grade failures faster than the built-in detectors. And the Panorama system is available on GitHub. And with that, thank you for your attention. I'm happy to take any question.
Thank you, Ryan. Do we have some questions? Could you please come up to the microphone?
Hi, I'm Xiaoyang Wang from Shanghai Jiao University. I regard that the logging statement are the good indicators of where you can put your observation sending operations. Mm-hmm. So my question is, can we simplify the design as a log online passing mechanism?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly how we actually did in the first place. So before we designed the static analysis, we essentially designed a kind of a log parser that continuously parses the logs and then extracts the observations. But at some point, there's just a certain information that's not available in the log system. And also it becomes very ad hoc, because when you change to a different version, the log format might change, and different systems have quite different kind of a logging design. So in the end, we just move to a more systematic approach by just analyzing the source code, because just have every information that we need in the source code.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, Atul Adia, Google. So in one of your slides, you showed a scenario in which there's a buffer component in the middle, whether on the request path or reply path, and you may not observe the failure if the failure is masked by that component.
Right.
My question is, just for the simplification of your system, if your performance SLO, like latency, bandwidth, or your correctness is not affected, why introduce that extra complexity of the OB sync and things like that? It'll just make Panorama more easier to deploy if that's an irrelevant component with respect to correctness or performance.
So in this case, are you saying that if the interaction exists and if it doesn't affect any component, why would we care about that kind of failure?
Correct.
Yeah, so we actually, exactly for that particular case, because the clients are already seeing many errors, so that do kind of have some kind of impact to the requesters. So the from the client's point of view, they are experiencing many errors because that prep request thread dies, so no one can actually handle these requests.
I see. So you introduce it to understand why the problem occurred.
Yeah, so we introduce to basically to kind of extract the impact from this client's perspective.
Great, thank you.
Yeah.
We have time for one last short question.
Hi, Joshua Lenners, Two Sigma Investments. This is really, really cool. I see that you compared with Falcon, which can't really distinguish failures without looking at local information. So we have this concept of an observer that says this process is wrong. One of the cool things that I think you're doing here is you're using this kind of distributed information to put together. Do you have any sort of way to characterize how local information would be unable to detect something in this scenario? For example, something like, is Zookeeper processing requests? What's a specific example we gave for, is the process healthy?
Yeah, the local information is, there are certain scenarios where the local information might not be helpful. For example, some cases where you have persistence requirement. So, for example, you have a request that's sent to this process, and this process sends a reply to say that it's okay, but even though the data is actually not persistent to the disk yet. So at that point, we were not going to be able to observe the failure from the local observation store.
Okay, great, thank you.